What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 174. In this episode, I'll discuss medications commonly tapered in the ICU. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode174. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Three classes of medications that are frequently considered for tapering in the ICU are corticosteroids, opioids, and benzodiazepines. For each of these classes, I'll cover why, when, and how to taper them. Corticosteroids are tapered for two different reasons. One, to minimize adrenal insufficiency from hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis suppression, and two, to prevent a flare-up of the condition the steroids were being used to treat. Significant HPA axis suppression does not typically occur unless corticosteroids are given continuously for at least 3 weeks at a dose equivalent to 7.5 milligrams or more of prednisone daily. Continuous corticosteroid administration at these doses suppresses production of corticotropin-releasing hormone and corticotropin and may lead to atrophy of the adrenal gland. Abrupt cessation of steroids in this setting may lead to adrenal insufficiency. When given for COPD exacerbation, corticosteroids are often tapered to avoid a flare-up or a rebound exacerbation. This is probably unnecessary unless the patient was taking chronic steroids prior to being treated for an exacerbation. When using corticosteroids for the treatment of septic shock, the typical duration of 5 to 7 days is not long enough for significant HPA axis suppression to occur. Corticosteroids in this case only need to be tapered if hemodynamic instability occurs when they are stopped. When chronic corticosteroids are tapered to prevent adrenal insufficiency, the dose may be decreased by 5 to 20% every 1 to 2 weeks. I only taper on the aggressive end of this range if there's an urgent need for the taper. In patients who receive steroids for septic shock, discontinuation occurs after the patient has been off vasopressors for 24 hours. If hemodynamic instability recurs, I resume the steroids and taper them over the course of a few days in 25 to 50% increments. Next, opioids. Withdrawal from opioids is unpleasant for a patient but not directly life-threatening. Opioids may be tapered for three reasons. One, to maintain the patient's comfort by not causing withdrawal. Two, to maintain the staff's safety if the patient may become agitated during withdrawal. And three, to avoid another disease being complicated by the symptoms of opioid withdrawal. For example, the catecholamine surge from opioid withdrawal may worsen a myocardial infarction. After approximately 7 days of continuous opioid use, a patient is at risk of withdrawal if opioids are suddenly stopped. It's important to note that there's no guarantee that any particular patient will experience withdrawal after this time point. Therefore, the speed at which opioids are tapered may be adjusted depending on the risk to the patient should they experience withdrawal symptoms. In the ICU, this typically occurs in patients who have been on a fentanyl infusion for sedation for 7 or more days. I discussed how to taper a fentanyl infusion in detail back in episode 72. When I'm in a hurry to taper the fentanyl drip so a patient can be moved to a lower level of care, I'll use methadone 10 milligrams enterally or 5 milligrams IV every 6 hours. The fentanyl infusion can usually be rapidly tapered off after 1 or 2 doses of methadone have been given. If I have enteral access for medications and there's no time pressure to discontinue the opioid infusion, I'll use enteral oxycodone. I usually give a scheduled dose and a PRN dose of oxycodone in case withdrawal symptoms develop. If enteral opioids cannot be used and there's no rush to get the patient off a fentanyl infusion, I'll just taper the infusion as quickly as the patient will tolerate. Often, a large initial decrease in the infusion rate can be made, such as 50%. After that, the drip can be tapered in 25 mic per hour increments at intervals that are at least several hours apart. If at any time the patient develops symptoms of withdrawal, return to the previous rate and consider giving an IV bolus of fentanyl. And lastly, benzodiazepines. Of the many potential symptoms from withdrawal of benzodiazepines, seizure is the most significant. Loss of consciousness during a seizure may lead to loss of airway control. This in turn can lead to respiratory failure and death. An ICU patient that was continuously sedated with a midazolam infusion for several weeks probably does not require tapering. Benzodiazepines must be used for a significant amount of time before the risk of withdrawal and the need for tapering is significant. For most benzodiazepines, this occurs with use over 1 year in duration. For patients taking high doses or short-acting benzodiazepines such as alprazolam, tapering may need to occur after 12 weeks of use. There are many taper schedules for benzodiazepines. Tapering by 10% per week is usually a safe option. Some patients may tolerate faster initial tapers, such as 25% in the first and second week, before slowing back down to 10% per week. And yet another option is to convert a patient to a long-acting benzodiazepine, such as diazepam or clonazepam, and taper slowly from there. The important part is not that the option which is chosen, but that seizures are prevented. Besides seizure, symptoms such as anxiety, agitation, sweating, tachycardia, tremor, insomnia, nausea, vomiting, or hallucinations may indicate the taper is proceeding too quickly. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.